Welcome to Med Practice Made Perfect, brought to you by Practice First Medical Management Solutions. My name's Tom Mahar, and I'll be your host.
Welcome to Med Practice Made Perfect. My name's Tom Mahar with Practice First. So today's topic is going to be on the difference or the choice of insourcing revenue cycle management services versus outsourcing revenue cycle management services. So this is always a very contentious topic. A lot of people have very strong feelings, both for insourcing and outsourcing from the client perspective, from the medical practice perspective. So, you know, some of the points that insourcers will make will be that, you know, they typically want to control the process beyond, you know, they want to control everything about the process, the people doing the work, they have better oversight, et cetera. Another consideration is the cost. Many times the gross dollar spent will be less if you're doing this, you know, insourcing versus outsourcing. So, you know, the only downside to that is that there's really, you know, without a deep analysis, there's really no way to determine the revenue loss that occurred, you know, the effect of certain bills not being followed up on, et cetera, which can also happen in outsourcing as well without good oversight. So, you know, folks that like to outsource, you know, some of their points are, well, you know, they don't want to get lost in the minutiae, you know, they don't want to get it, you know, they don't want to get into all of the details of the billing. They feel that the cost is well worth not having to worry about keeping up on all the many changes that occur, you know, sometimes more than quarterly, you know, for fee schedules and really all sorts of things as far as things that come down from various regulatory agencies, et cetera. So the other thing that outsourcers, you know, like to say is that, you know, they don't have to worry about the headache associated with all the employees that take care of this work. You know, post-COVID, it can be challenging. A lot of people want to work from home, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of the base of this. And then some of the challenges in revenue cycle management are, you know, staying up to date with all the changes in billing, coding, and credentialing. You know, there's always changes on the credentialing side from the carrier perspective as far as how you're going to submit claims. You know, is it going to be billed as a group? Is it going to be billed under the individual numbers, et cetera? These kind of things can happen multiple times a year with your car carriers. You know, the other thing that's big is staying up to date with, you know, all the laws, federal and state, concerning patient protection laws and regulations, et cetera, that have to do with your policies and that sort of thing. Financial policies, et cetera. You know, post the public health emergency, there's just, you know, there's a shortage of billers nationally as, you know, probably several years before COVID, a lot of billers became certified coders. So there was a shift of a lot of folks moving into that area. And we noticed it very acutely in our area here in New York. You know, the other thing to consider is that, you know, these employees are very mobile and in demand and they may leave, you know, they may leave quickly. You know, very important to interview properly and, you know, getting to learn and understand what it is that employee wants. You know, do they want to climb a ladder, you know, up to the ranks in the revenue cycle area, you know, typically in a revenue cycle management company, there are levels of employees, and it gives people an good opportunity out of their technical training to climb a ladder. So, you know, that's a big thing. And, you know, you want to retain these employees. You know, they're a big investment. You have to spend a lot of money to educate them on all the rules and regulations, how to do things right, your process, the software. You know, there's really quite a few considerations. So those are, you know, primarily the challenges. You know, there's opportunities in revenue cycle management. So, you know, what does that mean? You know, when you outsource, one of the benefits is that that's all those employees are doing. If they're not in the office, a lot of times in the office, they might have multiple areas of responsibility and might not be focusing 100%. Yeah, they'll get the bill out. They'll get the claims out. They'll get the payments posted, but the AR follow-up suffers. From an outsourcing perspective, that's really all they're doing is just medical billing and AR follow-up. So that's kind of an advantage. Many times, you know, we've taken over accounts that were insourced prior and go through the desk of the prior billers and, you know, find, you know, unpaid claims, you know, written up appeals that were never sent and those sorts of things. So that, you know, so that's a thought, you know. In every revenue cycle management package, there are, you know, a multitude of month-end reports that, you know, that come out. And, you know, but beyond those month-end reports, really what you really need to do is analyze the numbers and dig a little bit deeper than those base monthly reports. Okay, so like, you know, what does that mean? You know, I'll give you a couple examples. One really good example is you know, you really want to know where your practice is going, not so much, you know, where it's been is important, but, you know, where is it going? So one of the things that we look at and track, and we, you know, we don't do it every month because it's not as pertinent every month, but typically on a year over year basis, we'll look to monitor over years and years of data and track the demographics shift in the insurance companies that, you know, make up your visits each year. You know, one of the things to watch for is that, you know, if you're a practice that's been around for a while, you're not recruiting new patients, you're wondering why your income's down. Well, you know, your patients have transitioned to Medicare managed care programs or straight Medicare from commercial plans. They don't pay as well. You can kind of see what's happening. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, the age of your patient population. You know, the other thing that's important is, you know, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is the insurance. So are you shifting, you know, are you shifting to more, you know, Medicaid based clientele? And if that happens, you know, you got to kind of watch, you know, you got to watch what's happening. And, you know, there's a lot of items involved, but you kind of watch that. And if it's creeping up a little bit year after year, your Medicaid percentage, you know, it's a good reason why your income's down. And, you know, you really want to try to bring in patients that, you know, that are younger, that have commercial, you know, good commercial insurance that are going to make up for that, you know, make up for that patient population. So that's a big thing. Another big thing to look at is if you're a specialist is to look at your referral base and track all the referred visit, you know, your visits by referring physician and track them by insurance and break them down by insurance. And, you know, that's important. You know, you want to make sure that you're getting a fair allocation of that particular provider's patient base. And he's not sending you all of his, you know, Medicaids and no pays, if you will. And you want to make sure that you're getting, you know, a good cross section of their practice. They might be sending their friend all the good insurance and you the not so good insurance. So you want to check that and cut those people off if, you know, you can't get that behavior to change. So that's an important thing. Another good report to look at is comparing your E&M percentages to the national averages for your specialty. You know, that's always important too. American Academy of Professional Coders has a listing by specialty of the, you know, your percent E&M distribution for all Medicare claims in the country. Now, obviously, your practice isn't going to be all Medicare, but you can, you know, gauge your distribution of E&M codes versus the Medicare national averages to see. I mean, I would doubt you would be higher, but, you know, maybe, you know, 10 percentage points less than, you know, that aged population might be a reasonable number. So you have a base to kind of see where you are and compare yourself against everyone else. So that's a good thing to check. So all of these additional reports are, you know, they're typically done by RCM companies, typically free of charge, is kind of an incentive to the practice and informing the practice and really becoming a partner with the practice that, you know, you're providing information and data that's useful beyond just the day-to-day information, which is, you know, I don't want to say anybody can do it, but it's much easier to do that. Deeper analysis is really what most practices need. So one of the other things you get from outsourcing is you usually will get a good cross-section of employees for that RCM company that know your software, know your specialty. You know, those things are important. They know what the difficulties are already in getting those difficult claims adjudicated properly. You know, they typically will have specific knowledge in writing appeals and reviews concerning denials that you get in your specialty. So those things are good, you know, and they typically will have all of the tools, you know, online tools like Encoder Pro and, you know, and several others. So that's a big thing. The other thing that's an opportunity from an outsource perspective is that, you know, the process, you know, the revenue cycle process is involved and there's a lot of people with hands kind of in the pie. You really need a quarterback to kind of manage and guide the whole practice, you know, the whole process, I should say, from the origination of the charge all the way through, you know, payment. You know, that includes the coding, that includes communicating back to the practice when there are difficulties with, you know, getting bad information up front, ordering insurances incorrectly between primary and secondary, feeding that information back, you know, documentation training to the providers themselves. That's all good stuff to stay on top of where, you know, if it's insourced, a lot of times people, you know, are a little afraid to step on different departments' toes, if you will. And sometimes you don't get, you know, a good independent feedback as to what the issues are that are causing cash flow slowdowns, denials, et cetera. You know, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, how do outsource companies charge? I mean, typically an outsource company will use a what's called a modified percentage of receipts or a charge per encounter and a flat fee rate. So, you know, there's Medicare frowns on the percentage of receipts methodology. It's okay to do. Medicaid, New York State Medicaid, namely, you cannot bill a percentage of receipts. It's considered fee splitting. And that includes for Medicaid managed care plans as well. So really what you need to do in a modified percentage of receipts is you charge a flat fee for your Medicaid and managed Medicaid encounters and exclude any of those receipts from the percentage calculation that you charge on all of the other receipts. So, you know, again, you know, the flat fee per encounter, that's a little bit cleaner. Some practices have a little difficulty with that because they feel that, you know, well, you know, the billing company, the RCM company, they're getting paid up front. What's going to make them follow through and get us paid? There's no incentive there. So they feel that a percentage keeps them involved to get the accounts paid. You know, I'll tell you from our perspective, you know, it's not only a small town, you know, it's a small country and a small world. And if you're not doing a good job, you know, for us, it doesn't matter how we charge, you know, I mean, we have to deliver the goods. If we don't, you know, people are going to hear about it and, you know, we're not going to bring in new business. So anyhow, with these two methods of being charged, I mean, you know, it's relatively easy. You know, if you take your annual information, say, well, okay, well, how much is this going to cost? I mean, get the number of encounters, multiply it by the flat fee. You know what it's going to cost you per year. Percentage of receipts, you can go through the calculation that I mentioned earlier. Again, I mean, not real difficult to figure out what those gross dollars are going to be under either method. Once you have those numbers, then, you know, then you go into the analysis of, okay, well, what is this costing me? Obviously, you start with all of the salaries and benefits of the employees that are doing this work currently in your practice. So that's the first place to start. The second place to look at is, what are all of the IT costs related to handling this? What is my subscription for Encoder Pro cost? What does it cost for a new desktop, laptop, you know, every 3 or 4 years, whatever your time frame is for turning your technology over? So you factor all those things in, and then you can compare those amounts to the outsource billing. You know, if you're saving money just looking at the costs, I mean, that's great. But what you have to be careful of, you know, when you're looking at the outsourced, if the outsourced number is cheaper than what you're doing, you've got to delve a little bit deeper into what, you know, how that RCM company does the work. Are they offshoring all of the work to, you know, overseas? That has its hazards, and it really has to be well managed to handle. You know, are your patients going to be speaking to English speaking people, you know, domestically here in the United States, going to be speaking to people abroad? You know, those are all considerations. So, you know, you really got to, you know, get some protection in the contract as to what will and what would not be, offshore. So the second part is that, you know, the analysis just doesn't end there. So the second part of this is like, you know, okay, well, if the RCM company is more expensive, there's one other very large component to consider here is that, you know, you have to be able to analyze and get a feeling for, you know, what sort of level of lost revenue are you currently experiencing? So, you know, the best way to find this out is to have a billing audit done by an independent company that can help identify what's falling off on the top end. You know, examples of this would be, you know, lack of proper revenue capture. You know, are there reconciliations of all the visits that are in procedures that are done every day? I mean, that's important. Are write-offs occurring without the proper analysis? Are there bad financial policies leading to self-pay debt, bad debt? You know, are you monitoring, are they monitoring carriers, and are they adhering to the policies and fee schedules that you agreed to in your contract? You know, at the end of the analysis, you know, the consultant should be able to project for you what the annual effect is of whatever they've located inside of their audit. That I can tell you, you know, I've seen many examples where the lost revenue alone, you know, dwarfs, you know, what the billing costs are. So, I mean, that's an area that a lot of times folks just get used to what the revenue is and not sure what it really should be. So, that's really a big area that, you know, if you have any inkling, and the best way to confirm that inkling is to have a billing audit done, that, you know, you should definitely engage in that. I've seen examples, you know, up to 10% of the revenue was being lost. I mean, it's typically in the area of 5 to 10% is what's not being captured at the top. Based on that analysis, you know, the next thing that you have to consider is what are the additional resources that, you know, the outsourced revenue cycle management company offers. You know, some of the things that you get is, you know, you'll typically get specialized knowledge on business and specifically in the medical industry. You know, you want a leadership team of people that are credentialed as MBAs, CPAs, CPCs, CMBs or CPBs, you know, a lot of initials there, but, you know, you want qualified people. You know, they're going to help you and assist in guiding the practice from everything from lease versus buy analysis to decisions about continuing on with a participating carrier or taking on a new participating carrier. Most of these companies have, you know, full credentialing, coding and billing departments, auditing and consulting from assistance with compliance to selling your practice. So you really want to get into business with, you know, people that can kind of help you in all these areas that are somewhat specialized. You know, maybe, you know, much more than like a, you know, legal or, you know, accounting firm can offer specific to the medical business. So that's important. So, you know, it typically to have all of these resources on staff, you know, depending on the size of the practice, obviously, if it's, you know, 100, 200 provider practice, you're going to have a full team of people to handle these things. If you're a smaller practice, you know, less than 20, you probably won't have all of those resources. So doesn't mean you can't outsource specific pieces. You can. Typically, you know, one and dones are difficult because they're a little bit more expensive. Consultants got to get to know you. That's one of the advantages the RCM team, our company has, is that they already know your business. They know where to look. They know who to talk to. They have access to a lot of things already. So those are the things that an RCM company can do that other, you know, that other folks can't as easily or as cost effectively. So, you know, the other thing that RCM companies have is, I mean, they have access to tools that not every practice has access to. So, you know, we talked a little bit about Encoder Pro, for example. I mean, big thing in the RCM world right now is working on RPA, you know, getting some of the work done by, you know, through robotic process automation, AI, you know, helping with various appeals and denials. You know, obviously you got to be very careful using AI to make sure you don't put any sensitive information out there. The other thing that RCM companies can do is they can scale pretty quickly, typically much quicker than a medical practice based upon their relationships with other folks that they can leverage to get you, you know, a brand new location, for example, up and running. You know, so there's quite a bit there. When considering all the factors above, I mean, hopefully it has become clearer that smaller practices typically don't have a large enough staff and won't have all the necessary expertise to handle all areas of the practice that can leak money. And there are, you know, the cash flow can leak from numerous places in a practice. So you can't just outsource to anyone. You may get worse results. You know, a couple steps that you want to take is, you know, make sure that you get trusted referrals from your colleague. Ask the RCM company for references and call those references and talk to them about the things that you're concerned about and see what their experience is. The other thing that is important is, you know, what are the clauses that you're going to need in the contract? I mean, there are certain things that you may want to have limits as to what they can outsource, that sort of thing, what the turnaround time is on getting claims billed, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's quite a few things there. So, you know, I hope this has at least opened a few doors in folks' minds as far as the options out there and how to approach it. Should you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. I'm happy to discuss it with you at any time. Again, it's Tom Mahar at Practice First. My email address is tom@practicefirst.com. And my cell phone number is 716-861-1199. Love to talk to you sometime. Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Med Practice Made Perfect.